We've been talking about commendation. I mentioned that there could be comments or questions, but I received nothing. Is there somebody right now that wanted to make a comment on the film before I get started?
Well, a few things are mentioned, and one or two of those things I want to talk about.
Prayer was mentioned, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. And then support, financial support, also was mentioned, which are the biggest items, and I want to talk about both of those subjects just a little bit. All right, since you don't have any questions in this here message that I have for tonight, I'm going to ask a few questions to you. But before I do that, I just want to mention that for myself, early in life I came to know Christ as Savior, and my verse of assurance, when Ed asked for that verse, I couldn't think of any verses until I heard the word Isaiah mentioned, and then I thought about it. But my verse of assurance, there's many that have confidence and so forth, is Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I was saved as a child, and I want to say that I think it's very important that when we have the missionary conferences, that the young people should be there. It's because of the many missionaries that came here on Thursday nights and also that were in our home. I think that as a young child, I had an interest in missionary things and being a missionary. Actually, in my own life, though, even though I was saved and had an interest in that, I went a little step further than what I should have. I convinced myself that I should be a missionary doctor. I don't even remember ever praying about it. I never even asked the Lord. I just thought that was a wonderful thing to do. And so I wanted to be a missionary doctor, and as some of you know, that I started off in college with that goal as a doctor. But I didn't make headway very far because I wound up in the hospital after the first year and a half. And it was during that time, which was very difficult for me to explain to others, but my whole course was changed. It was there that God really dealt with me about what that I should surrender to him, and about the fact of being a doctor, that was not exactly the Lord's plan, since I had that time there, and it was a difficult time for me after that, is to know exactly what the Lord would have me to do. And you know, oftentimes that's a struggle in many people's lives, is as to what you should do. Then a verse in Hosea came to me very clearly, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And that verse was the verse that perhaps as a young late teenager, that really began to work in my life, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. My dad, being in business, always talked the idea that everybody should be in business for themselves, and he sort of wanted that or encouraged that. However, as I said to my father, I don't want to do that because I can see that once you get in, it's not so easy to get out, and I'm not sure what God has for me. And so I wrestled with that, and I worried a lot about being in the will of the Lord. And I remember Brother Bill Ferguson saying to me, stop sinning and just commit it to the Lord about where you should be, which was also a good thought for me to hear. I also remember Brother Arthur E. Smith, who spoke to me when I was just in my early 20s, and he was having meetings here, and he said, now, David, when the Lord calls you out into full-time work, I want to give you a little advice. Well, you know, really that didn't mean so much to me then as it did after I felt that's where the Lord wanted me to go. And then I want to say, too, in testimony, that I'm very thankful that the brethren here came to me. Actually, it was my Uncle Rich who was the spokesman for the elders, and came and asked me if I had ever considered about going out in full-time work, because they had prayed about that. And I said, yes, I had, but I didn't know where I would go. And so it was then in 1959 that I was commended to the work and wherever the Lord might lead. And even then, I was confused concerned as to where maybe I might go, but I knew that the Lord wanted me in the work. And so I, at that time I was very active. As we look back, we had AYA. I had the group out in Angola, and I was in Buffalo at the Assembly Hall at one night, and then one night I had the black work on William Street. So every night in the week was filled with having meetings already. In fact, it was becoming too much for me to do the job and also the work. And so I think that's why the brethren were exercised, and I'm thankful for that. Well, I want to begin with a question for you to fill in the blank, okay? Our concern for the perishing, rather, and our desire to make known the gospel and to see it spread among all nations will be measured and determined by our attitude to... How would you fill in the blank? All right. Let me read the thing again, if that's how you would see it. Our concern for the perishing, our desire to make known the gospel and to see it spread among all nations will be measured and determined by our attitude to... Okay, Jason? To the Word of God. Okay, good. Okay, now you just think about that. Maybe some of you else has got a thought. My thought to that is our whole attitude will be to the Word of God and what we think about the Lord. As to what we feel will be our desire or our motivation for going. However, the other's thoughts are fine as well. I want us to look to begin with Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Now I recognize that this verse is spoken to Paul. It's in reference to Paul, but I think also we could apply this to ourselves. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace. Certainly all of us can say that we have received grace in tremendous ways, but notice and apostleship. That word apostle means the word apostle means sent ones, right. And by whom we have received grace and the apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And, you know, we need to recognize that we should be sent ones to all nations in obedience to the faith because the word needs to go out. Romans chapter 10 for a verse. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Now, when Ed asked for a verse on revive, with the word revive, this is my verse that I had jotted down tonight. So that I knew right that one I had right away. Psalms 85 and verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now our need is that spiritual life should be revived. That's our need. Our need is that spiritual life should be revived, and the spirit of evangelism moves us strongly afresh. When we recognize our need of revival, we also recognize our need also of evangelizing. And the revival starts with each and every one of us, that we get right with God and then go on for him. Now, Paul, as we remember in Acts chapter 13, there we find that how they laid the hands on them and they went out and they were commended. And then they came back, and they gave a report, and they were recommended to go again. And so we find that they came back again and gave reports of the work as it went forth, and the word began to spread. But one of the things that we noticed that Paul asked for when he came back each time was for prayer. And I think one of the greatest ways that we can ever support the mission work or those who are in the work, or for anyone for that matter, is by prayer. And the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, is, "Brethren, pray for us." I'm very thankful in the years as I look back. I think of somebody like Mrs. Lindbergh, who was from Jamestown, who said she was very faithful for remembering me every day in prayer. I know that my dear mother prayed for me every day, and you know, when you see those people pass away, you sense that. One of the things that I really value is prayer support. We need it. I'm thankful for a fellow that I had as a camper. He's now a married man with some children, but he also has reminded me that he prays for me every day. Mrs. Maitland tells me that she prays for me every day. I'm very encouraged when people pray for me. The first time when my name went on the prayer list, I had strange feelings about that, you know. And sometimes people have strange feelings if you bring up their name for prayer. But listen, you can bring up my name for prayer anytime. Put me at the top of the list. I would value prayer, and I know that people that are in the mission field and all of us, we need prayer. Now, what should we pray for, okay? You give me the answers from 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Tell me what we need to pray for. Say it a little louder, Ed. Yes. Okay, that's one thing. What's the other thing in that verse that we need to pray for? That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But what else should we pray for? Yes, that the word of God would have free course. Okay? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. What's another thing that we should pray for? Since you don't have questions tonight, I'm going to ask the questions. You'll give the answers by looking up the verses. Colossians 4:3. For an open door, okay? For an open door, for that we could speak, okay? All right. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 31, through 32, rather. Romans chapter 15. What's another thing to pray for? Yeah, that we work together. Okay, what's another one in that verse? Somebody else? In that verse? I didn't notice it. No, we're in this verse right now. We're going to have just a little study, but you're going to look yourself. It's Romans chapter 15, 30 through 32. What else do we need to pray for? Yes, okay. What else? Yes, okay. What else? That the service might be accepted. Mm-hmm. The strive together, that was said. And also, what else? That when I come, Lori? Yeah, that when I come unto you with joy by the will of God, that he might be able to come with joy and that be refreshed. Okay? All right. Now, Paul appraises the power of prayer highly, and it will result in what? Philippians 1:19. He knows the value of prayer, and he's asking, and this verse we have to have a little bit more than just the verse for it to understand what he's asking for there. He's asking for what? No, not from sin, but from what, Ed? Okay, what is he asking for salvation? that he might be saved from, what's the epistle about? He's in prison, that he might be saved out of prison, that he might be delivered out, okay? And he knew that there was power in prayer if they would pray for him, that he would be saved out of prison, okay? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 10, gives us also some other thoughts of what he wanted prayer for, okay? Okay, Jason? 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Of the pressure, okay. Okay, somebody else besides my wife? Right, okay. Okay, all right. Now, I want you to notice also that Paul was didn't only ask people to pray for him, but he also prayed for them. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles and looking, you're missing out on what the verses have got to say. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, I'm going to begin. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I've often been struck with that because I know I really fail to pray for people. The list is so great, and for people who get saved and that I've had the joy of leading to the Lord, you just can't even remember some of the ones. But we need to pray for them, and that's where we need help in prayer. But Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So those are some of the things that Paul prayed for them. Notice also in the same book, chapter 3 and verse 14, he prayed that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And he goes on and mentions other things to pray for. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 4. Here again we see that Paul says, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 again, notice that he, verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So he goes on to pray, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. So there's several things that we find that Paul prays for them for, and I can't go through the rest of them because I won't make it through again tonight. But I want to give a couple of quotes from some missionaries. One missionary wrote this, I cannot go without your prayers. And another missionary wrote, unprayed for, I feel like a diver on the ocean bed with no oxygen, or as a fireman before a blazing building with no water in the hose. And you know, that's very true. And again, the cry from every mission field will be, brethren, pray for us. So how can we support them? First of all, we need to support them for praying for them. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 4, if we will, for a minute. Philippians chapter 4. And then we need to be concerned about their needs. But there's two ways that a full-time worker can go about it. And Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is the biblical way. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But many today are not taking that biblical way, and we could read the verse like this. In everything by advertisement and begging letters, let your requests be known unto men. And the uncertainty of finances, which passeth all endurance, shall keep your hearts and minds in continual suspense. So there's two ways of looking at that. And I trust that our missionaries that we have commended would understand that they need to look to the Lord alone. I just want to give a personal testimony again in regards to this, that when I went out and was commended to the work, prior to that, I had been employed for a few years and had a little savings account. And because of the fact that I had read books like George Mueller and Hudson Taylor and other books, I felt very strongly if you're going out by faith, you should get rid of everything that you have, and then God is going to supply your needs. That's faith. That's how I felt about it. And I didn't have any big amount, but I did have a few thousand dollars. And so I felt before the Lord that's what I should do. But then the problem came in my mind, who do I give it to? You know, because the fact, I feel that we should be exercised. Now, I know that some of you do not feel the same way as I do, but I think that we should even be exercised about giving when we give into the offerings, and that every offering should not be the same. But that's your own personal business. I'm not telling you what you should do. But I feel that all works are not the same, and we should be exercised in prayer how to give. So I was thinking about that I should get rid of this money, so my first thought was that what I would do, because of the fact back then the Sakagi school was having a project where they were putting in beds, and they needed beds and mattresses, and at the assembly hall at that time felt that they should take up a special offering to help Lyndon and Ruth Heck. And they were talking several thousand dollars, which was a big amount at that time. However, I was still employed at the time, and I worked in the morning, so was not able to go until the afternoon towards the evening. And as you know, at our missionary conferences, we take the two offerings, one in the early afternoon and then the other one in the evening. So I said to the Lord, after they give the afternoon report, whatever is needed for the balance, I'll just write out the check up to whatever I have. Well, the shocking thing that happened to me was that it was already met. They had already reached the goal. I think it was 6,000, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever that figure was. But they had already reached that. Now, that happened to me three times in my life, and so I have different ways that I wanted to give the money, but I didn't know where to give it. And I'm just mentioning this because God works in different ways. Now, the assembly, when I was commended, they did give me a gift of fellowship, but I didn't receive any financial assistance for over a year from anyone. So now I began to realize why I didn't give the money. Since then, I really am very thankful for the assembly for all that they have given and that. But the thing that it taught me very early is don't look to men. And I'm very thankful for many of the lessons that I had to learn because we don't all have the same lessons to learn. During that end of that first year period, there was a woman, not from our assembly, but from another assembly, who sent me a check for $20 and said in the letter about the fact that I know that you really don't need this because you're living with your father, but I want to send this $20 for encouragement. I was so mad about that. It was the first gift that I had received after what the assembly gave me. I sent it back. And I sent it back with this note saying I thought we had the same father. I'm not saying that I was right in doing that, but I was really, that's how I responded to that. And I wasn't penniless yet from what I had in my savings. But that began to show me that you keep your eyes on the Lord and not on the men. Most of you are aware of the fact that my father did quite well in life, and I'm thankful for the fact that of the home that I was brought up in. But my father did a few things that I didn't care for either, because the fact, being five kids, he decided that right after I was commended, that he wanted to take me on this here trip to the Far East. And the other children were going to get $3,000 apiece. And I said to my dad, I don't want to go on this trip. How will it look if I go on this trip? Because people will begin to talk. Here I am going into the Far East, and I've just gone out into full-time Christian work. And so Dad just let that drop, and when it got towards the end of November, when they were going to go, he said, now look it, this is your Christmas gift. Either this or nothing. So I went. And I want to share with you that, again, you see, God works in different ways. My dad was wiser than I, because at this time I was still wondering where the Lord would have me to serve. And what I want to share with you on that trip, I had many things that took place, but one thing, whenever we visited missionaries, and we visited over 14 on that trip, as we would travel with the missionary in Malaysia or different countries, wherever we were, the missionary would go and say, in this little village, as we drove around, because Dad would take them out for dinner, and they would take us on a little tour, and this little village is where we have an assembly. We go just a little mile or two, and this village, they would show the assembly. And every place that we went on that trip, the missionaries were always showing us all these different little chapels that were gathered together where the assembly met. It convinced me more that my work should be in the States. That was possibly one of the greatest things. Now, other people, that would maybe be altogether different. But as God worked in my life, it showed me, listen, they got lots of people over here. We can go for miles and see nothing in the United States as far as gospel work. Then one other time, it was a couple years after that, Dad did another deal, and he said to me that he was not giving me the money as he was given to the other kids, that we were buying this house, he and I, on McGurk. I don't want that house. In fact, I didn't like the idea that my dad forced me. But, you know, again, I want to say that God works in different ways. Because of that house over there, it was the old Ryan estate, for some of you who remember, that Dad and I bought that together. But that, in the long run, years after, turned out to be the down payment for my end of the house as I built on. I want to say that God doesn't always work the way we expect with finances. But one thing that it taught me is that you need to get your eyes off of men, get it on the Lord, and the Lord works in great ways. Now, I just want to give another couple experiences of my own, and then I want to just give a closing verse. And that is that a man or a woman who goes out in the work and they're not looking to the Lord and they're writing begging letters and so forth are going to miss some great experiences. It is true, I was brought up in a family where there was money accessible if I wanted the right home for it, but I was not going to do that. So I can remember on one particular trip, as I was having meetings, I was down to something like $4.75, when all of a sudden the fuel pump went on the car. And it happened in a marvelous thing. It happened just as I was coming at an exit. I was right at the exit, and the exit was on the top of a hill. And I couldn't get any gas on the pedal, but as I went down the exit, I came right, was coasted right into a gas station. So I'm praising the Lord. I made it. You know, I didn't know what was wrong, but I made it. But the gas station was closing up. And I said, no, wait a minute, Lord. This is what I need is some help. So the guy was closing up, and he says, I'll help you. He said, and before I even said anything, he called for a tow truck. And I said, Lord, I can't afford a tow truck. All I got left in my pocket is $4.75. So anyways, he towed me for several miles, for a few miles, and when we were in the garage, I'm praying. I said, I'm going to have to explain this to the guy, you know. And it didn't take long. He replaced the part, and that's all I needed. And when he told me that the bill was $4.75, I still can't believe it. I don't know how it could be so cheap. It wouldn't even count for the towing, not alone staying for what he did. But you see, now the Lord worked it out. I wouldn't miss that. I mean, I want to say that I was very nervous about the praying, okay? But God came through, which was something that I've not shared those kind of things with people. But you know, the Lord is really great. And that's a tremendous thing to grab a hold of. I can remember back in 87 when Dan came to me on a Sunday night after the meeting was over with and said to me, you know, Uncle Dave, there's that verse in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. And he said, you know, that says according to his riches, not out of his riches. And I said, yeah, there's a big difference. God is going to supply according to his riches. You see, if he gave out of his riches, he could give you little or he could give you much. But when he gives according to your riches, he's going to give you plenty. And because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And so Dan said to me, you know, according to that verse, we should be living like millionaires. And I said, we are. Well, he said, look at you. You're driving in these 87 Fords. Well, I said to him, well, Dan, I don't need to be driving in a Cadillac. All I need to be driving in is something that runs. And so, at the end of the discussion, I said to Dan, I said, you know, you really need to pray for us because we feel in February we might have around $4,000 to buy another car. And he said, well, you're not going to get much for $4,000. And I said, well, then you pray that the Lord would increase my faith. Well, then on Thursday night of that same week after Dan and I had a word of prayer, when the two brethren here came and asked me, and I'm very thankful for them. They don't want me to mention their names. They were very thankful for the fact that they had something that they could share. And they said to me, you know, we want to get you a car. Well, I was just flabbergasted to think that I was getting a brand new car. That's my 88 Ford out there that I got. The Lord supplied in a remarkable way. And as I said to Dan afterwards, it had to be his prayer. It wasn't my faith. And I want to say that very sincerely. God has met our needs, not the way we expected. 2 weeks later than that, because my car was ordered for the 88 Ford, and I say this as a testimony to the glory of God because we needed a car, I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and there a brother came up to me after three nights of meetings, and he had a lot of small talk. And then finally he ended by saying, I suppose that is your 87 Ford out there in the parking lot. He said, our company's getting rid of an 82 Oldsmobile. He said, I think that it's an excellent shape, more than yours, and maybe you could use that. And I said to him, well, I said, thanks. I said, but the Lord has just met my need about a car. I explained to him about my prayer time with my nephew. I also explained how the Lord had given us the opportunity to order a car. But I said, you know, my wife and I would like to have two cars because of her camp work and so forth, and by renting a car, and I went into all that. I said, by the way, out of curiosity, what are you asking for? And he said to me, he said, I'm not asking anything. He said, I want to give this to you because ever since I met you and I heard you speak, I've been exercised about getting this car. So that's how we got the 82 Olds. I just want to share that with you because the fact, you know, when you make your request known to the Lord, God meets your needs in wonderful ways. And so to help them, our biggest responsibility, I believe, for all of our missionaries is to pray for them. And I wanted to get into other things that we need to pray for, but the time is gone. And I just want to end with one verse, which is well known, and that's this verse, and I'm over time, I'm sorry about that, but John chapter 4 and verse 35 says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already to harvest. If we look up our eyes, it speaks of our interest. Where is our interest? If we're lifting up our eyes, and as the Spirit of God moves us to take our eyes off of our own things and our eyes on His work, I'm sure that it will bring interest of all kinds. And then it says, look on the fields. We should secure information. So not only should it our interest be aroused, but we should secure information to know how to pray and how to give. Because those are the two main things that we need to do. And then notice it says that the fields are white, all ready to harvest. If we do the former two things, if we lift up our eyes, if we look on the fields, then we will be inspired. Yes, we will be inspired to move to action. And we will not say there are yet 4 months. We're not going to say that. We're going to say we need to get out there and do something now. We need to pray. Yes, and we need to support our missionaries. Thank you once again for your listening a few minutes overtime. Lord, again, we just bow in your presence, and we just thank you again for the Word of God, and we just ask that you'll use it in a special way. And we pray that we might know how to pray more intelligently and how to give to the various ones that are commended here and then also from the other places. And we thank you for all those who have gone out to serve you. Help us to be more intelligent as we think about the subject of commendation, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.